This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Invisible War radio program with our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. Dr. Randall, so good to see you in the studio again today.
And you, Tim. What a wonderful day our Lord's given us to study His Word together.
Rob, I know how much you appreciate all of our listeners because we get so much encouragement from them each and every week.
I want to thank you for listening to the Invisible War program today. It is my great privilege to be able to share this time with you around the things of heaven. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
You know, Dr. Randall, we just flat ran out of time last week when we began this new series on Lies That Kill. The teaching we're going to hear from Dr. Randall is coming from his book by the same name, Lies That Kill. And let me remind you again, this book by Dr. Randall is available at our website, theinvisiblewar.org. So be sure to get your copy today. I have no doubt that your life will be changed when you begin to live out the truths of this book called Lies That Kill. And speaking of truth, one of the very first things the enemy wants to confuse us with is the authenticity of the Bible. After all, wasn't it written by a bunch of men? So, Dr. Randall, how can it actually be the Word of God?
As we have stated in our earlier program, is that all of Satan's tactics of destruction is based upon his lies. His lies are only effective if we believe them. And this particular series, Lies That Kill, is offered to expose what I believe to be the most believable lies of the enemy, so often believed by so many. And the first one is fundamental to all that we understand concerning our spiritual battles. It is so important that we come to understand that we can believe what the Bible says is true. The lie that the enemy has perpetrated, probably the oldest lie of all, is the Bible can't be the Word of God. Men wrote it. You ever heard that one? Boy, I sure have. You can't trust what the Bible says because men wrote it. You know, when it all comes down to it, this is the one lie that has the power to derail everything our Lord has provided for us. I begin this study with this lie, for it may very well be the seedbed for all others perpetrated by the enemy. It is, without question, the cornerstone of all satanic deceptions. If Satan can get us to question at any level the authenticity and reliability of God's Word, he will have found a foothold for his murderous craft. When we fall for his lie, all others are bound to follow. From the very beginning of recorded time in the Garden of Eden, we find Satan using this lie when he challenged Eve's faith in God's Word. In Genesis 3, verse 1, we find these words, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' Notice here how Satan is checking her out to see if she really believes what God has said. Now, of course, you know the rest of the story. We live in a fallen and cursed world today because of the sin that entered into it through our first parents, their disregard for God's word. As one looks at the question of the infallibility and subsequent authority of Scripture in church history, just a casual student finds that the authority of Scripture was never brought into question. In George Duncan Berry's book, The Inspiration and Authority of Holy Scripture, a study in the literature of the first five centuries, he surveys the early church fathers' view on Scripture and concludes, the fact that for 15 centuries no attempt was made to formulate a definition of the doctrine of inspiration of the Bible testifies to the universal belief of the church that the Scriptures were the handiwork of the Holy Spirit. In the 1800s, questions about the authority of Scripture began to arise. Since then, every major denomination has entangled itself in a vigorous battle over the Bible and its authority over our lives. Even Charles Haddon Spurgeon, considered the greatest preacher of the 19th century, did not escape the fray. He described the seriousness of the matter thus, "Believers in Christ's atonement are now in declared union with those who make light of it. Believers in Holy Scripture are in confederacy with those who deny plenary inspiration. Those who hold evangelical doctrine are in open alliance with those who call the fall a fable, who deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, who call justification by faith immoral, and hold there is another probation after death. To be very plain, we are unable to call these things Christian unions." A clear reference to the Baptist Union of England. "They began to look like confederacies," he said, "in evil." This is precisely why I was compelled to write this book, Lies That Kill, The Supernatural Battle for Truth, and to bring its teaching to you on radio. When the church is brought to the place of doubt and entertains the thought that the Word of God is full of errors, it is then left with a life that has no compass, a dead religion without the possibility of faith. And without faith, there is no way of cooperating with the power of God in and through His body, the church. Simply put, the kingdom of God does not come, and the will of God is not done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 10. As a young preacher, I attended what was then the largest Baptist university in the world. As a student, I had my faith in God's Word challenged most every day. The barrage of attacks was not intended to strengthen my faith as a young preacher. They seemed to be aimed at destroying what faith I had. It was as if my professors believed reasoning had no room for faith. It seemed as though many of my professors believed that the Bible may have been inspired in certain spots, and somehow by their educational prowess, they were inspired to pick out those spots. They held to a more classical, liberal position concerning the Scriptures. That position, simply stated, holds to the belief that the Bible is a human witness to divine revelation. It is not divine revelation in its substance or essence. The late W.A. Criswell, my pastor, mentor, and friend, succinctly defines a theological liberal as one who turns aside from the Word of God and substitutes for it his own speculations. He is a theological liberal who judges the Holy Scriptures by his own subjective experience and not his experience by the Scriptures. The truth is, the Bible welcomes intelligent and honest reason. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. In fact, the Bible promises that if we ask for wisdom, God will abundantly give it. In James 1, verse 5, listen to these words, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all men generously, and without reproach, and it will be given to him. My friend, the Bible speaks of two kinds of wisdom available to everyone. One wisdom comes from God above. The other comes from the powers of darkness. Listen to these words. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. James chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Would you join me right now in asking our Lord to give us His wisdom as we study these amazing truths concerning the Scriptures? Make an altar right where you are. Let's ask Him to come and teach us and guide us into all truth. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promises that are the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are established in the heavens. And you have promised us that the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher into all truth. Lord, help us. Help us receive your truth, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, that we might come to a place where we are willing to cooperate with Holy God to bring His kingdom into this earth as it is in your heart in heaven. I ask it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Lord, you've told us that you would give us your wisdom. We ask for it now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The first thing I want to say about the Bible today is that the Bible is the Word of God in its origination, in its origin, its beginning. How and when did the Bible begin? Its origin. In John 1:1 and in John 1:14, we find these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These passages link the Word of God to the person of Christ. That's right. The living Word of God and the written Word of God cannot and therefore must not be separated. Yes, it is true we do not worship a book, but we worship the God who has given us this wonderful Word from His heart to our hearts. Jesus did not have His beginnings as a baby in Bethlehem. Jesus has always been. Before time and creation, the Scripture refers to Him as a part of the Godhead. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we find these words. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That's right, Jesus was present at creation. Why is this so important? To try to separate the written Word from the living Word leads us to a place of powerlessness in the spiritual battles of life. The written Word is the perfect revelation of God to man. Yes, men wrote the Bible, but God is the one who has linked Himself to it to reveal and manifest His holy presence. Please hear me today. Without God, there is no Bible. The second thing I want us to see today is that the Bible is the Word of God in its inspiration. Now, be careful not to get bogged down in this study. It is technical, but it is fundamentally important that we understand these issues so that we can put our faith in the Word of God. Surely the Bible can't be God's truth. After all, it was written by men. How often has this old, worn-out argument been heard? whether stated or implied, why it sounds so logical. After all, we attempt to impose what we know concerning our frail inconsistencies and spiritual compromises upon the writers of Scripture. While it is clear from the teaching of Scripture that men did in fact write the Bible, it is God who supernaturally gave them the words to speak. He used their personalities, their giftings, their experiences. It was the Holy Spirit of God who gave them His words to speak and to write. My dear friend and longtime counselor, Dr. Bill Nix, wrote a timeless textbook with Dr. Norm Geisler on the Bible by the title, A General Introduction to the Bible. The authors brilliantly lay the groundwork for the understanding of biblical inspiration. Two prominent New Testament passages set the stage for the discussion of inspiration. Number one is 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The word here for inspired is theonoustos. This is the only occurrence of the word theonoustos, God breathed, in the New Testament. And the second passage, 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So in literal biblical terminology, inspiration is the process by which Spirit-moved writers recorded God-breathed writings. Hence, when inspiration is viewed as a total process, it includes both the writer and the writings. But when it is seen as a product, as in 2 Timothy 3:16, it relates only to the writings, graphe. The picture is well summarized in Hebrews 1:1. Will you hear it today? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, to which 2 Timothy 3:16 would add the thought, in their writings. The whole process of inspiration begins with the matter of divine revelation. The prime mover in inspiration is God. No prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. In other words, God moved and the prophet mouthed these truths. God revealed and man recorded His word. The Bible is God's word in the sense that it originates with Him and it is authorized by Him, even though it is articulated by men. God moved the prophets in such a way as to breathe out, literally spirate their writings. In other words, God spoke to the prophets and is speaking through their writings. The Word of God is the revelation of God. In it, we have the manifestation of the presence and power of Almighty God. The Scriptures claim for themselves to be theonoustos. This word comes from two words, theo, which means God, and noustos, which means breath. It literally means all Scripture comes to us from the very breath of God. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is theonoustos, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. That's right. God did it. It's God's word. Satan hates it because the Bible always exposes his murderous strategies of lies. If it were a mere book of man's exploits and imaginations, the devil wouldn't even be impressed. But because the Bible is the word of God, all of hell and all its inhabitants tremble at its truth.
Man, I hate to break in here because we're just running out of time today. But there's going to be a lot more on this subject next time when we get together. Rob, each week it is important for us to wrap things up in prayer, and today is no different. Can you take a moment to cement all of this great teaching into our hearts and lives with a word of prayer?
What a privilege is mine today to join my heart with yours in prayer. You know, prayer is not talking, it really is listening. It's speaking those words that Holy Spirit gives us so that we can cooperate with Him. My dear friend, what I need today, what all of us need today, we can't do for ourselves. Only God can cleanse our hearts. And if you're not sure you've ever been saved, as the Bible calls it, if you're not certain that you're going to heaven when you die, would you pray this prayer with me? Right where you are, words are not magic. God knows our hearts. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you loved me because you died for me. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Give me the courage, give me the strength to follow you the rest of my days. And I ask it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Rob. The entire teaching on this subject matter is now available in Rob's book called Lies That Kill. This powerful book will answer so many of the lies that the enemy wants to confuse us with. And Rob has done an excellent job of addressing each of these everyday common deceptions. Get your copy of this book by Dr. Randall by going to our website at theinvisiblewar.org. I am confident that you will not only enjoy the teaching in this book, but will see your own life changed as you apply these principles in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. Pick up your copy of Lies That Kill by going to theinvisiblewar.org. You'll be glad you did. Rob, as we come to the end of the program today, why don't you share some closing thoughts with us?
This is Rob Randall, and I want to take this opportunity to encourage you today. You can be free today. Freedom is yours through the gift of Christ on Calvary. Those of you who do not know Christ as Savior, would you trust Him as your Savior today? Ask Him right now to forgive you of your sins, and He will. This wonderful freedom is available through the gift of salvation offered to anyone who will believe in the saving work of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. If you are already saved and still searching for the freedom that you know is yours in Christ, please understand, Galatians 5:1 tells us it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Here the Holy Spirit is speaking through the life and pen of the Apostle Paul to warn us of the danger for believers to be subject to fall back again to a yoke of slavery. Oh, dear brother and sister in Christ, freedom in Christ is yours. It is your legal right to walk in the eternal destiny God has for you. You can be all He wants you to be. Christ has paid the price on Calvary through His blood for you to walk in His freedom. Freedom from all spiritual tyranny. Freedom from fear. Freedom from evil spirits. Freedom from confusion. Freedom from drugs and alcohol addiction. Freedom from all types of sexual addictions like pornography. Freedom from every type and sort of every bondage and addiction. Freedom from the demonic destiny that Satan has set for you. Yes, you can be free from everything that comes to destroy you. Freedom, as the Bible says, from the law of sin and death. We at the Invisible War Ministry are here to help you walk in the freedom of Christ. Please let us know how we can serve you today. If you need a prayer session, call us 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Or visit our website, email us with your prayer requests, and do it today. I look forward to hearing from you. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom bought for you by Christ when He died for you at Calvary. Be sure to join me again next week as we continue our study into the things of heaven on the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War. The Invisible War.